From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled Dissension in Antioch, part of a series in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 44. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The mental pressure arising from our Lord's struggle with temptation so forced his frame to an unnatural excitement that his pores sent forth great drops of blood which fell down to the ground. This proves how tremendous must have been the weight of sin when he was able to crush the Savior so that he distilled great drops of blood. This demonstrates the mighty power of his love. It is a very pretty observation of old Isaac Ambrose that the gum which exudes from the tree without cutting is always the best. This precious camphor tree yielded most sweet spices when it was wounded under the knotty whips and when it was pierced by the nails on the cross. But see, it giveth forth its best spice when there is no whip, no nail, no wound. This sets forth the voluntariness of Christ's sufferings, since without a lance the blood flowed freely. No need to put on the leech or apply the knife. It flows spontaneously. No need for the rulers to cry, "Spring up, O well!" Of itself it flows in crimson torrents. If men suffer great pain of mind, apparently the blood rushes to the heart. The cheeks are pale. A fainting fit comes on. The blood has gone inward, as if to nourish the inner man while passing through its trial. But see our Savior in his agony. He is so utterly oblivious of self that instead of his agony driving his blood to the heart to nourish himself, it drives outward to bedew the earth. The agony of Christ, inasmuch as it pours him out upon the ground, pictures the fullness of the offering which he made for men. Do we not perceive how intense must have been the wrestling through which he passed, and will we not hear its voice to us? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Behold the great apostle and high priest of our profession, and sweat even to blood, rather than yield to the great tempter of your souls.
cross, millions dead now live again, myriads follow in his train. Victorious Lord, victorious Lord, victorious Lord, and coming King.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. After their first missionary journey to a number of cities in Asia Minor, Paul and Barnabas returned to the church in Antioch to report on the souls that had been saved and the churches that had been established. Although the news was met with much rejoicing on the part of some, there were others who insisted that the Gentile converts be required to submit to the Jewish ceremonial law, especially circumcision, in order to be saved. This was an attack of the devil upon the basic tenets of the gospel of Christ, salvation by grace alone, and the finality and sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross. This was nothing short of heresy, a satanic attack which is still being carried on today. Now to bring the opening portion of a message called Dissension in Antioch, here is Dr. Cairns.
Acts chapter 15, the first two verses of the chapter. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. The Lord will add his blessing to this very brief reading from his infallible word for his name's sake. If you have been with us through our studies in the book of Acts, you may remember that I, in the analysis of the book, included the 15th chapter, at least the most of it, under Paul's first missionary journey. Now, that journey proper finished in chapter 14, but we include this section because what we read in the 15th chapter is the natural consequence of the actual missionary journey Paul and Barnabas undertook, and I think must be understood in connection with it, and certainly will not stand being divorced from it. So we include this under the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. You may also remember that in the record of that missionary journey, we saw the work of God established amidst fierce tribulation. And I think as we began to consider something of the devotion and the courage of these men, Paul and Barnabas, in their missionary endeavors, we began to understand, I think in a little greater way than we had before, something of what it took to be a man of God in those early days. I always cringe when I hear modern preachers criticize these early men of God when they come across their faults and their sins and their feelings. Now, that's not to say they are beyond criticism. It's not to say that they didn't sin and they didn't feel, for they did. But I always like, when I come to the failures and the sins of men like Paul and Barnabas, to try to put myself in their position. And when I measure myself or any other man today by their standard, I find that we are not in much of a position to criticize. I find here in this first missionary journey some of the most heroic devotion to Christ that the world has ever seen. The work established amidst fierce tribulation. Now when we come into chapter 15 of Acts, we see the work endangered by false teachers. If I could give you just a summary of chapter 15, you'll find that it's in four parts, and you'll be glad to hear we're only dealing with one part this morning. We're not going to try and cover the whole chapter, for it's a very important chapter in the Bible. You'll find in the first verse and a half that the theme is dissension in Antioch. We're going to be dealing with that a little this morning. And then we find the deputation going to Jerusalem. From verse 6, we find that there is disputation in Jerusalem. This is a tremendous and in itself a very important thing, because as we'll see when we come to it, it has a lot to say about church government and how government ought to be run in the church. This section, disputation at Jerusalem. And then finally we have the decision of the apostles and this question which is brought before them. Can people be saved apart from the circumcision of the law and apart from the ceremonial of the law? Now those are the sections of the chapter this morning. We want simply to think upon the first verse and a half, the dissension that there is in Antioch. You may remember that when we studied the church in Antioch, I said it was my prayer that God would build in this church a veritable church at Antioch. This is the cradle of Gentile Christianity, and certainly stands out as one of the greatest churches the world has ever seen. And yet here in that very church, where God's people were eminently spiritual, where the blessing of God was preeminently known, where evangelism, soul winning, missionary endeavor were the order of the day, A church that could boast the greatest galaxy of spiritual stars. If I could use that word, and it's quite a scriptural word, for ministers are stars in the hands of the Savior, according to Revelation 1. But this church that could boast the greatest galaxy of spiritual stars is suddenly rent by dissension. How the devil loves to get into the church of Christ and by one means or another to set brother against brother, to set family against family, to set one segment of the church against another segment of the church. Now, we would need to learn from that this morning. And I would pray that as we learn to avoid the dissension, we will especially learn from this section of Scripture to avoid bringing in dissension on the ground of false doctrine, because this is how the dissension arose in Antioch, and it therefore was all the more dangerous. In dealing with the verses before us, I want us to talk about two things. First, the heresy, and second, the controversy. Or as the BBC now like to call it, I don't know if this has reached America, the controversy. Old words have been turned in their heads to make them sound better. But whatever way you say it, I trust you'll understand me. We're talking about the heresy and the controversy. The heresy, verse 1. I want you to watch this very carefully. Certain men which came down from Jerusalem taught the brethren. The word is literally, were teaching the brethren. They didn't only hold this view themselves. They didn't merely drop it as a hint here and there, but they were consistently seeking to teach it and inculcate it. They were seeking to spread it throughout this church. They were saying, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, what was at stake here was the very substance of the gospel. Under attack were the twin doctrines of salvation by grace alone and the finality and sufficiency of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the twin doctrines under attack. And any attack on those doctrines endangers the gospel of Jesus Christ. It subverts the gospel and would bring to naught the entire work of evangelism in the church. Today, Christendom celebrates what they call Easter Sunday. The only mention of Easter in Scripture actually should be translated Passover. The Church of Jesus Christ in early days was very, very chary about exalting holy days, and not without cause. But today, Christendom supposedly celebrates Easter. What is the message of Easter? It is that Christ, our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, has been sacrificed for us. What is the message of Easter? That Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, and did all this for us to purchase for us eternal redemption. What is this message? In other words, we can find it in Romans 5, if you read the 18th and 19th verses. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now that is the message of the gospel in its most basic statements. That is the message of the gospel and the message of Easter, if you would have it. That is what the Bible's all about. Salvation appointed by God's grace from all eternity set up in the covenant of redemption. Salvation accomplished by God's grace in the shedding of the blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Salvation applied by God's grace, by the mysterious sovereign operation of the Holy Ghost, regenerating dead souls, giving the gift of repentance and faith, enabling them to close in with Christ, and making them new creatures in His grace and power. So this is the gospel. Now, that is exactly what the devil was against here in Antioch. Those were the doctrines that were under attack. The doctrine of grace and the doctrine of the final sufficient work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice carefully Satan's thrust as he gets to work in Antioch. We have noted on two occasions formerly how he sought to bring division into the church and weakness into the church. First of all, he did it through Ananias and Sapphira. You remember previous to that, he had been attacking from the outside. Now he comes on the inside. The enemy on the outside is dangerous, but the enemy on the inside is always much more dangerous. It is relatively simple to deal with the devil on the outside so long as the Spirit of God is in control on the inside. But when the devil gets on the inside, then I tell you, we have a dangerous, difficult situation. So in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, he came in with sin inside the church. And by spreading this hypocrisy and sin in the church, he sought to wreck the work and witness. But God dealt in judgment with the hypocrites, and the church was actually strengthened. And then again, you'll remember in Acts chapter 6, how he sought, not by sin mainly this time, although sin is involved in all these things, but by sectarianism, to divide the church, to have the Hebrews against the Grecians, to divide the people of God up into little compartments, and to have one fighting the other on some sort of a nationalistic basis. My friend, that in itself is always wrong. God's people ought not to fight each other, except, and this is a very big exception, for there are some people would put a period there and say, God's people ought never to fight other professing Christians. But except under the circumstances in which Paul and Barnabas entered the fray against these false teachers from Jerusalem. But you'll see how the devil was getting in on those occasions. Sin and sectarianism. But now he goes to the root of the matter. Now he goes to the very heart of the gospel. Now he seeks to bring to naught the work of God, not by clipping at the branches, as it were, but by going to the very root of what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to stand for. He starts at the heart of the gospel, and he denies the efficient, sufficient, final work of Jesus Christ, and he denies that salvation is by grace alone. Now the devil is still pursuing the same line. In fact, he has pursued it right throughout the centuries. For centuries, indeed from the very earliest days after the apostles, and if you'd like to go into the book of Galatians, you'll find that even during the days of the apostles, for centuries the devil has had false teachers who have substituted a doctrine of human merit for divine grace, and a system of human effort for the all-sufficient sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. For centuries, down through what history calls the Dark Ages, this was what was known as the gospel. Throughout those Dark Ages, the Roman popes had their teachers all over the world, and are all over the so-called Christian world, and they were teaching salvation by merit. In fact, it's laughable, if it weren't so serious, to read what their theologians had to say about it. They had a very complex system of theology, all worked out on this doctrine of merit. They had what they called congruent merit, and then they had what they called condign merit. Now, I'm not going to bother your brains with these stupid distinctions of theologians whose names are best forgotten. All I'm trying to show you is that they were teaching salvation by the merit of man. that in some way man could merit the favor of God. And of course, when they reach that position, they have got to bring into play a doctrine of sacrifice, a doctrine of the Mass, a doctrine that takes away the finality and the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ. Man has to put something in place of the finished work of Christ. Now, the devil was at that job for centuries. And then came the greatest revival in history since the day of Pentecost, the glorious Protestant Reformation. Now, the great basis of the Reformation is often misunderstood. So often you will hear it said that the basic doctrine of the Reformation is justification by faith. It is not. And I say that again. Justification by faith is not the basic doctrine of the Reformation. It is a vital doctrine of the Reformation. But something much more basic lay underneath it. And you could say gave birth in the preaching of the Reformers to it. And that is the doctrine that salvation is by the sovereign grace of a sovereign God. That's the basic doctrine, the basic biblical principle of the Reformation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.